This is News Team correspondent Andrew Vasco here at Make Noise, speaking with Tony and Kelly, the founders of Make Noise, on their 10-year anniversary. Congratulations on hitting 10 years.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit of like a brief history of Make Noise and how you found yourself here in Asheville?
Oh, yeah. Well, it all started with myself taking a position at Moog Music. And Kel and I were living in New York City at that point. And I had wanted to work for a company that made analog synthesizers. And she said, well, who makes analog synthesizers? And at the time, there was really only two companies. There was Buchla out in California. And then there was Moog, which we didn't know this, but apparently was in North Carolina. And we have visited some friends or done a camping trip, or maybe both.
Both, yeah.
And when we landed in the airport, Asheville Airport, there was a Citizen Times in the newsstand with Bob Moog's picture on the front of it. And at this point, we didn't even know that Moog was in Asheville. But we saw this picture of Bob Moog, and I said, whoa, that's Bob Moog. And we look at the paper, and it turns out that he had passed away. We were both surprised. We had no idea that Moog were in Asheville, and went on our camping trip and came back. And then that's when Kel suggested, hey, maybe you should get a line down at Moog and see if they're hiring and go down there and work for them. And so I did. And we came down here. I worked for them for about 3 years and then decided modular synthesizers were the thing that was really interesting and left Moog to pursue that.
Well, Tony started with a module called the Mod to Mod. Took a little bit of money, made 20 of them, sold 18 on a forum, kept the other two for himself. And then there was a fella out on the West Coast who ran a shop called Analog Haven. And it was the only shop that was really stocking Eurorack modular synthesizers at the time. And he got in touch with Tony and said he wanted to order, you know, 50 of them or something like that. So Tony went ahead and used the money that he made off of the 20 to get more parts, made 50 of them. And then Sean got in touch again and said, actually, I want to get 100. So it kind of went like that for the first few years, where each run of a module was used to fund the next run of that same module or to make a new module. Mm-hmm. And that was all in a spare bedroom of our house out in Marshall.
So it sounds like a very organic growing experience here at Make Noise.
Absolutely. I think organic's the perfect word for it. There was no business plan. There was no capital. There was no loans. There was just a spare bedroom and then whatever we could, you know, scratch together to like keep another production run coming.
There was a lot of excitement for modular synthesizers, though.
There was. There was, yeah. At that point, I mean, we knew every customer. I mean, there was about 100 customers and every single one of them, I would go to Chicago to an event and, you know, 30 people would be there and I would know almost every single one of them.
And so from the bedroom, you moved to downtown and then from downtown, you moved over here to West Asheville.
There was one more space in West Asheville before downtown. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just down the road. It was used to be part of, well, it's actually where Woolly Press is now.
Yes.
We used to be in that little space.
Yeah.
How has the move to this much bigger space, how has it been for y'all?
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I feel fortunate that we all get to come here and work in such a beautiful building. We're in the old West Asheville Bank, which was built in the 20s. And we've had this building for about 2 years now. We've worked in it for a year and a half. It's such a wonderful room and building to work out of.
Yeah, absolutely. A great place to be, too. You can walk to a lot of stuff. So I like that the crew can walk across the street and get a snack on their break at the Gas Up. Or, you know, if they're hungry, they can, you know, go up to Battle Cat and get, you know, a bagel or something. You know, it's just nice that they can just walk to places from work. When I was working at Moog, I wasn't in that building that they're in now. You know, now they have a beautiful building that's right near downtown, really conveniently located. We were way out and almost towards, what's the little town?
Woodfin.
And I mean, you know, there was just nothing out there. So you go on break and there was like this one vending machine that was always just had one pack of peanuts left in it or something. So it's really great to be right here in the heart of West Asheville. I think it's nice for the crew.
So not only do you make these amazing, beautiful instruments, but you also do a lot in the community as well here in Asheville. Could you speak a little bit about that?
Sure, yeah. Well, one thing that is fun for us about having a business that has been growing is just the way that we can connect with community partners. And we do that in a lot of different ways. Sometimes we might collaborate with other organizations. For instance, we just worked alongside of the folks at Revolve and the Media Arts Project and Black Mountain College Museum to coordinate the John Cage Room at the Rehappening. And it's just cool to be involved in any sort of like experimental art and music, because it's really kind of at the core of who we are. And, you know, everyone who works here at Make Noise is a musician and artist in some way. So it's special that we get to continue that kind of work. We also sponsor a lot of organizations in town. Some of them are arts-based. For instance, we work with Girls Rock Asheville quite a bit. And three of the people who work at Make Noise are also volunteers for Girls Rock. And we've done a range of things with them, from sponsoring the showcase and funding things, to one year I organized a bunch of other music instrument companies to make donations. We work with a lot of synth libraries. So some of those are in the US, such as S1 out in Portland. And we sponsor them by giving them gear and access to what we do. We also just sent 5 Okos to Prague, where there's a new synth library opening in the next week or so. Walker and I developed a workshop that's an intro to the Okos, which is our small standalone synth. And one thing that's so nice about that instrument is it's a great way for folks to get interested in modular and get started at a lower price point. So we do community workshops, and actually today Walker just gave a training to 7 folks who are community partners in different locations so that they can do the workshops in their own communities. So just empowering folks to be able to provide that resource themselves, so they're not relying on us showing up, since we can't always show up everywhere. And then we just work with and support a lot of nonprofits in town as well.
So what is in store for this 10-year celebration you have coming up?
We have a concert that features several artists that have done releases on our record label. We have a small record label called Make Noise Records. And some of those artists on the record label are going to be at the concert. There's even going to be one artist who has not yet done a record with us, but we're working on getting the record done with that person.
So one of the things that I did maybe about a year ago is started a synth club that was like a learning group, really focused around getting some new folks access to the no-cost or Okos synth that we make. So it's a learning synth club that typically meets every month for women, trans, and non-binary folks, where we just learn the Okos together. And one of the people who's in that group is an incredible musician in town, Meg Mulhern, who just started working at Make Noise yesterday. Mm-hmm. And she created this really lovely drone piece with the Okos, and we put a video out of that on social media. And she's working on taking that a little bit further and combining the Okos with violin. So she'll be opening the show. After that, we have Hypoxia, who's an incredible artist based out of LA. And everyone else is doing full live modular sets. Mm-hmm. After Meg. Banna Hafar, who we released Mo Hypoxia's record last fall. Mm-hmm. And then we released Banna's this winter. She'll be performing after Mo, and then after that is Robert A.A. Lowe. Some people might know him as Lycans. He is an artist we've been working with since Make Noise started, really, and an artist we've known for a really long time. He actually played our 5-year anniversary party, mm-hmm. which was at Apothecary back when that space was around. And then headlining, we have Tyonde Braxton, who's also an incredible artist.
Absolutely,
based out of New York, who's headlining the show. So that's Friday night is really centered around that show at the Diana Wortham You can go to makenoisemusic.com to get more information about that. And then we have a series of things around town that are happening Friday and Saturday. One is an art and music installation. It's a projection installation from Richard Devine that will be at Black Mountain College Museum downtown on Friday and Saturday. And then at the Movement Center, which is a movement studio right behind Make Noise in West Asheville, we'll be showing some short films that are made by the artist Sean Curtis Patrick, who we collaborate with on the record label. He has made several really beautiful short films for the music that the artists we've worked with have created. Mm-hmm. And that also is Friday and Saturday. And then Saturday morning, early day, the Make Noise shop will be open for demos. And then we have an event at Ambrose West down the street from Make Noise. There will be panels and talks on things such as building community through modular synthesis or
microsound and granular synthesis.
And we'll have a synth library where people can come in and try things out and ask questions and just like play around. Tony and the team of Make Noise was part of an installation at the Museum of Art and Design in New York this last year. Mm-hmm. And that piece, which is an interactive sound object, will also be available for folks to play with and mm-hmm. ask questions about. As well as one of the crew from Make Noise is doing an exquisite corpse shared system project. Mm-hmm. If you want to say what that means.
Yeah, sure. So the idea is we're going to have a shared system set up, and each person that approaches it is going to be given a set of parameters. I believe the parameters will be something like this. You can add one patch cable and remove one patch cable. So you can definitely affect the patch, but in only that very limited way. And so we're going to start with the patch and then have everyone who comes out do that process of adding and removing one. And Mike is going to have that recorded. I believe we're going to try to stream it as well, maybe on our Instagram account. And you'll be able to hear how the crowd affects the sound of the patch over a period of time, probably like a couple of hours. We'll have that open for maybe a little longer. I don't know. It seems probably as long as people are still pulling a patch cable and putting a new one in.
And then Saturday evening, we're partnering with Ari and All Go West, and there will be folks who use our instruments performing in the Fortune Building as well as at the Mothlight. And Sunday afternoon will be a few hours long, probably 3 hour long, Modular on the Spot. Modular on the Spot is an interactive community event. It's a picnic in the park, and it's all just about supporting folks doing modular and creating access for anyone. So it'll be down at French Broad River Park. There will be several people performing short pieces, and folks are welcome to ask questions about modular synthesis and hang out. And it's also about really bridging that space between like artist and audience, where it's just meant to be a very relaxing environment that's community focused and isn't about watching a performance. I actually like to lay in a blanket and watch the sky.
Yeah, exactly. It takes this form of music and it takes it out of the rock club and puts it in a different environment. The experience is, I mean, I have to say it's a lot better. As Kelly said, you can lay on a picnic blanket. You can look at the sky. It's really a lot more fun to see this music in that environment than it is at a club where you're standing and you know, it's dark and smoky, or I guess clubs aren't smoky anymore, but yeah. But anyhow, it's a great event. They bring typically you bring a generator out to power a small PA system, and it almost always try to find a location that's kind of beautiful, just not where you wouldn't think you'd be listening to electronic music.
One last question, just to kind of end this piece. What is the future of Make Noise now that you've hit your 10 years? Any hopes or dreams of what's next?
For me, it's always been a very day-to-day thing. I don't really have some massive overarching vision for the company. We're just, you know, we're working on new instruments and new ideas and just exploring stuff. And I think a part of that is just because when you're trying to design things, you really have to go, you know, one piece at a time. If you get too far ahead of yourself, you can really stumble easily and just get really frustrated and disappointed and kind of lose the motivation. So I try to like focus on the small battles we're winning every day, and that keeps you going to like, you know, make the full impact that you could have with a new instrument or module, whatever you're trying to develop. So Kelly might be better at answering that question, because I can't see past next week, really.
Well, I think it's, you know, we're not a business that's like, here's our 10-year plan. And we're very motivated by designing and putting out instruments that we believe in and support and feel like will bring joy to people's lives. And so the goal is to keep doing that. And if at some point we feel like we can't do that, then we'd reconsider. But I feel like there's still a lot of ideas here that feel very fresh and exciting. We're interested in, you know, looking at, as Tony says a lot, having one foot in the future, but also one foot in the past. So looking at where modular synthesis was in the 60s, but also embracing new technology and new ideas and new ways of really considering what is music. We're very interested in pushing those boundaries and creating things that are new and beautiful and exciting, and invite folks to totally reconsider sound.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I want to make our record label only release films. Because records are really hard to release, and sometimes you wonder how much attention people even pay to them. Maybe they pay more attention to films, so you get artists to make. That's why we started working with Sean, because we thought, well, maybe, you know, it seems like people listen to music a lot on YouTube. It's just how they listen to music today. So we said, well, maybe we make some really beautiful films to accompany this music that we're putting out, put those on YouTube, then people, that's how they'll be consuming the music, and they'll also get to see this beautiful film. So stuff like that.
I think it's also, you know, when Tony started the company, it was for the first several years, it was really just him doing all of the work. I mean, sure, I paid some extra bills, but I had another full-time job. But the idea was, I don't know, it was never to start a company. So I think even today we look around, and as of Monday, there will be 14 of us working here in our shop in West Asheville. And then I just think about also the ripple effect of that. We work with contract manufacturers in Georgia and Chicago and Cincinnati and California, Atlanta. You know, we work with Image 420 and basically have a new t-shirt almost every week. We work with a Penland resident artist, Eleanor Anand. Ellie does graphic design, and we're talking about doing a new artist installation piece with her. We have Drew from Subject Matter doing posters. We've had Woolly Press working on projects. So I feel like we've already gone a lot further than we ever expected it to. So it's hard to imagine something bigger than where we're at. And our goal isn't to become like a huge company. Our goal is really, like I said before, just to make instruments that we're excited about and proud of and feel like are joyful and innovative and fun.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for coming by.